When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Northamptoners, if you are listening to this on Friday the 4th of October, we are playing in your town, Northampton, tonight. RambleLive.com for tickets. What else are you going to do? Go to the pub and talk about spreadsheets. Bore off. The trains are running all night. Get yourself RambleLive.com. Come and see us.
Let's all have a disco, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Spurs face Brighton after their bind battering. Norwich host Villa, and Brendy Rodgers is back in town. Hi, gang. Luke, Jimmy, Petey and Marcus in your ears.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
The yo you did then sounded just like the start of one of the Bart Simpson singles.
Yo, hey, what's happening, dude?
That one.
I'm the kid with the rep for being rude.
That'll
terrorizing people wherever I go. It's not intentional, just keeping the flow. Fixing test scores to get the best scores. Dropping banana peels all over the floor.
Fixing
I'm the kid that made the God seeing art. First name Simpson, last name Bart. Damn it!
Yes, he got it wrong.
T-U-R-T-L-E, power people.
Yes. Yes. You remember all these raps from the 90s.
Like, do you know what that reminded me of?
Spent a lot of time on the streets back in the day.
How do you remember all these raps?
Marcus.
That sounds like the start of a rap.
Well,
Jim.
I don't know any rap off by heart.
No, I don't.
Peter Luke seems to know loads of them.
Backstage at Alexandra Palace Saturday, I went through the whole of Ice Ice Baby.
I did.
And about two words from the end of the final verse, Jim came in and said, do you want to do the production?
Yeah.
That was he only stopped because Mizzy Adam punched
more
him
important.
In the face. Please stop.
Hashtag Team Luke, hashtag Team Jim. get your tweets
show
in.
Show at footballrambleday.com.
Right then, we've had our introduction. Thank you very much, Peter.
Let's get on with the main bit.
Yeah, Spurs got gubbed by Bayern, didn't they, Jim?
Yeah, they really did, didn't
7-2. Now, Jim, As an Arsenal fan, when Serge Gnabry scored those goals, did it give you deep satisfaction because he's an ex-Arsenal player, or did you think, should we have kept him?
Well, obviously both, to be fair. but it was a lot has been made of Gnabry being let go from Arsenal, and it sort of going back to that insane situation where he was loaned to West Brom.
But Tony Pulis has taken a lot of flak for you, isn't he?
No. But you've got to remember what's happened was that before he was loaned out, he was injured for about a year. So he started really showing some promise at Arsenal. I forget against who, but he scored a match winner in a game, and he looked like he was really going to kick on. And he was out for a year, loaned to West Brom under Pulis, who said they couldn't get him fit, which might have been a hangover from that injury. But also, I think Arsenal's loan system at the time was terrible. It's like someone would go, can we loan new players? And they go, yeah, all right. And they would sort of forget where that player was.
Open a curtain. They'd all stood behind a piece of glass.
Exactly,
you pick which one you want.
Speaking of loan players, Charlotte Newcastle is the new loan manager who's supposed to guarantee that Newcastle players that are on loan are getting their matches. Nobody played any minutes over the weekend. Everyone's gone, Charlotte, are you actually doing anything apart from being mouthpiece? Sorry, carry
if
on.
If you
the
want this
chat.
MBE, Charlotte.
What I love is that when a player scores a haul, away in the Champions League to the side who go all the way to the final the previous year, straight to Tony Pulis.
Yeah.
What sort of scenario?
He actually looked quite emotional when he was talking about it. I was absolutely shell-shocked.
Yeah. When he said, I had him at West Brom, we took him on loan and we can never get him fit. He even got taken off in an under-21 game. He was a good kid, nice kid. I don't mind him at all.
Yeah.
No beef with Pulis.
Yeah. It's a funny one, that, isn't it? I guess it's just a circumstantial one. I suppose it shows what a difference the environment makes. I imagine he probably felt like a fish out of water there. But you know what makes me feel the most sort of a pang of envy or jealousy or that feeling of what could have been is that Champions League football. Okay. But a lot of those goals are reminiscent of Thierry Henry.
Oh, I missed that.
I did quite Gnabry's tweet, obviously, buying in the red kit.
Yeah.
He just tweeted North London is red. I thought, very good, sir. Very good. Can't begrudge him that, really.
No.
What a strange game, though.
God, I was
just going to say, before you move on from Gnabry, people who haven't had a chance to listen to OTC yesterday, I talk about Andy Brassel talked a lot about the improvement of Gnabry and how much he benefited from playing under Julian Nagelsmann at Hoffenheim. Mm-hmm. So that's probably worth listening to if you haven't done that already. Please,
yeah, absolutely.
Carry on.
Well, in the words of Luke Moore, I was at the game.
I was.
Yeah. Were you?
And I was at the game, and I remember thinking towards the end of the game in injury time, I can't actually remember how many goals Gnabry scored. Yeah. And that's probably not a good sign for Spurs.
Well, I turned off at the hat trick. I was like, oh, they're not going to score any more than that. And I was like, what?
It was madness. It was a not too dissimilar capitulation at the end, Brazil against Germany and the 7-1, all that kind of stuff. It was wrong because in the first half, Spurs went 1-0 up. And they probably should have been ahead before that.
I didn't see the game live, so watching the highlights back, that was probably my highlight.
They had, from my memory, Marcus, they had three really good chances and they scored one of them. So I think they might have all fallen to Son.
You're absolutely right, yeah. And so they went 1-0 up. But the thing was, I was watching them, you just score the goal, stadium was buzzing, the team was buzzing, and I thought, oh, here we are. Now, could this be Spurs' sort of awakening, if you like, this season? Now, I know they're not doing terribly in the league. What are they, sort of fourth or fifth? They've got 11 points.
They are good for that as well, at home in the Champions League.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of good nights to sort of call back to, I suppose.
Of course. And they were fizzing the ball round, and Bayern looked very much second best. Now, they equalised Bayern, of course, which slightly against the run of the play. It was a beautiful goal. Mm. And then just before half time, Bayern score, and you think,
but that what a ridiculous goal from Lewandowski. That's one of those, like, that's just annoying if someone scores that against you. And believe me, I know all about Bayern scoring ridiculously good goals against you.
But the difference between the two teams was just like Bayern's finishing was just relentlessly good.
And Neuer as well made a few very good saves.
Well, I look at the save that he could have made against Harry Kane's penalty. Harry Kane's penalty was ridiculous.
Yeah,
Neuer
so good.
Judged like his positioning, he was right in the middle of the game, obviously, because of the penalty, but like he couldn't have done any more for that penalty.
Yeah,
I would have been bloody annoyed if I was not yet.
So at half time, I remember thinking, how are they not ahead, let alone level? But you start again, and then what unfolded? But it shows you that in football, moments obviously are so crucial. You know, Eriksen had a chance to make it 4-3. Not a brilliant chance. You know, these are the moments. And then suddenly they lose 7-2, and you think, flipping Nora. Now, Pochettino urged for calm after the game and said there's no need to rush the analysis. Well, you know, we're a few days later, so I think we've bided our time. But if you're a Spurs fan, you think to yourself, okay, that you can try and squeeze out some of the positives and say, well, actually, the first half performance was a lot better, blah, 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 blah. 7-2.
It was a perfect storm, wasn't it? Because you're right, Bayern Munich didn't dominate the entirety of the game, certainly not in the way we've seen them do against Arsenal a couple of occasions. But this is now a habit with Spurs.
Yeah.
But I don't like them playing that diamond anyway. I think Moussa Sissoko might have come out since the game saying he doesn't like it either, which is obviously not a great look. But they have a habit, and I can think of three occasions this season already when Spurs have almost completely switched off after about 40 minutes, conceded the goal just before half-time, and had a result at the end of it which was negative to what they expected. Not quite as dramatic as this, but negative nonetheless. And for me, the real concern was just how easily they crumbled. You watched it from in the stadium, and they were just being undone by silly decisions, easy over-the-top balls they should have dealt with. And you combine that with the fact that everything Bayern hit went in there one of those nights. Gnabry said it. I just wanted to try everything because I was having one of those days. That's what happens. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the scoreline, although it's eye-catching, is something they should be overly concerned about because Bayern are a good team and we've discussed why. But what you've got to ask questions about, I think, is the fact you've got a handful of players in that team who either haven't been offered new contracts or who won't sign them. Mm. And how quickly they switch off. Not only that, I don't know how you felt about it, Marcus, because I know you were at the game as well. I thought Serge Aurier put in one of the most bizarre performances I have seen from a top-level player, from double studding into the stomach of a Bayern player and lucky to stay on the pitch. essentially approaching his position in the most avant-garde, surrealist fashion I can remember. I just honestly thought he was all over the place.
Yeah.
And then you couple with the fact that, you know, they gave the ball away too much in the second half. I also felt, just finally, and Ndombele, who looks a great player but needs to get his match fitness, and Sissoko, who has just signed a new contract and who is important to them for different reasons but has his shortcomings. Mm. I don't know if you noticed this, Marcus, but there was a bit, it's either for the goal that Lewandowski scored just before half-time or it was just after half-time. They both looked absolutely gassed.
Yeah,
they could hardly move.
Yeah, I thought,
why is he not doing something about that?
Yeah, because Pochettino's teams, the fitness levels are usually pretty high. Wink's giving the ball away
a lot, yeah. He didn't have a great night either.
There were sort of errors. It was a collective failure and it was individual failure as well. I mean, you're right, that right back slot. I mean, I don't want to be too reductionist here, but I appreciate Kieran Trippier didn't have a great season last year. And I understand it was, you know, people said it was a good move all round. Mm. But their replacement for him, or replacements, have not been adequate at all. And in fact, he'll be looking from afar, thinking, well, bloody hell, I'm glad I jumped ship when I did. Was he slightly pushed? Who knows? But
well, they've only got one natural kind of right back, Walker Peters, in that situation.
Well, you'd have Sergio Aurier, I suppose. You know.
Yeah. Well, he's not playing this weekend because he's suspended because he's a naughty boy.
He comes with his own
sure.
issues.
But Pochettino, just some of the stuff he's saying. When people say, you know, that talk about if they'd have won the Champions League, would he have left? I think he might have done. He's not going to be short of offers. And there is that kind of, is that Champions League final going to be seen as a curse?
As a zenith. It was just a summit.
Well, yeah, however you want to word it.
I feel like...
Because they can't seem to get themselves up for it that much. Well, there is out for it.
Do you think those two things are necessarily related, though?
Could be, though.
It might
be
too much of an easy comparison.
We talked a bit about Arsenal, and I think it might have been when they... Did they get pegged back by Watford away from home?
Yes.
Arsenal, yeah. So it might have been around that game, but it's over a different game. And one of us in here, it might have fucking been me, that's why I remember it, because I'm an egotist, said that what are you like as a team, as a group of players and as a team when it's hard?
Mm.
When it's easy and you find that you can knock a team over, like they might well do against Brighton this weekend, that's fine. But what do we learn about you when it's hard? What do we learn about this team when they play against someone good who everything's going right for them and everything's going wrong for you? What do? Do you dig in and really kind of grind out a 4-3 defeat and save a bit of face and say, look, we'll move on? Or do you collapse? And if you collapse and you capitulate in this fashion, not for the first time this season, the result hasn't been the same in the past, but the attitude has been the same. It's worrying, and it's a really big job for Pochettino to turn it around. That really is.
Yeah, and I just wonder if that some of those rumours where he thinks, you know, maybe he's thinking to himself, all right, what's my next move, and so on. Like, he's a professional, he's dedicated to the cause, blah blah blah. But if that vibe is coming off him, I don't know whether it is or not. It will leak to the players because of the type of man he is and the type of manager he is.
He's very emotionally led, I think.
He's very emotionally led. But this game against Brighton, because of all that, is a very important one for Spurs. And
they're still looking for their first away win of the season.
Well, there you go. So it's a big one. But I mean,
I think honestly, if they go to Brighton,
if they do not win,
I think they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
I know it's going to sound crazy to say. I mean, they could end up mid-table by the end of the weekend, but I think they're in trouble.
When you say in trouble, I sort of get the point. But I mean, like I say, they're still firmly in the top half. Now, I know Spurs, they want to finish at least third.
All right, but approach it a different way then. Okay, I'll throw it back at you then, Marcus. Who does he pick for this game?
Harry Kane.
What players does he pick? Because Vertonghen and Alderweireld, contract situation.
Yeah.
Eriksen, head turned, doesn't want to sign a new contract, is not being picked for big games. Ali's dropped off a cliff. Aurier suspended. You know, the only one really... Winks had one of the worst games I've seen.
But I think the likes of Winks and Dele Alli...
They'll play.
I think you've got to stick with them. The contract situation, he's got to manage that. But,
yeah.
But that's what... Big manager at a big club, you know. I mean,
we'll find out a lot about Brighton as well. Because
we will.
And I think the reason for that is, Marcus, you mentioned accurately last week that it was a bit of a false dawn for Brighton on the opening day of the season.
Well, yeah.
But this is a team, Spurs now, who are there to be got at. Now, they could either be a wounded animal and they'll blitz Brighton like they did with Crystal Palace.
Yep.
Or Brighton will sense blood and they'll go for it and they'll beat them.
Well, I think that's
an opportunity for them, isn't it?
Well, exactly, and we'll move on from Spurs in a sec, but you're right. You look at the reaction Man City had when they were beaten by Norwich. Let's see what Spurs do here.
They snuck past Watford, didn't they?
They did indeed. Yeah, but other than that, opening day win for Brighton, they haven't done too much. They've drawn a few matches. They've only scored 5 goals, and it looks like defence will be key again this season, Jim, and it was only that defence that, that just kept them up. But their attacking options aren't particularly plentiful.
No, they're in a they look a blunt squad, don't they? They're going to have to overachieve. I think they're in real danger this season of that just not being enough. Maybe they'll have to sort of add some firepower in January, but that's difficult, isn't it? I mean, they're still fairly reliant on Glenn Murray, which is.
And we love old Glenn.
Of course, but he is old
an ageing striker.
He won't start the game. Neil Maupai will start the game, I expect.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? It's still in terms of the experience and the goals in there. You're not, none of those forward players at Brighton really make you think, oh, you know what? They're likely to pull a defence apart.
I mean, it's impossible for us to forensically watch every single team in the Premier League. Excuse me. So I wouldn't have watched them as closely as some others have. But I'm curious as to what's happened with Pascal Gross, because he was brilliant.
Yeah,
he's a brilliant player. I mean, he's a good, I've always really liked him, and he's not really seemed to pull up many trees. They've got some good solid Premier League players. Yeah. I don't think Lewis Dunk's decent. I think
he's presumably
highly rated.
Moy was, you know, a good operator.
I don't know if Duffy will play. I think he's injured. So they've got a bit of a challenge on their hands. But they have to apply themselves. All these players who don't play regularly who are coming in because Brighton have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And possibly 6 players out injured, need to come in and show why they should be being picked.
They do. Let's move on to what I'm calling the weekend's thigh rubber at Anfield. Liverpool versus Leicester City, the Brendan Rodgers derby. Can Brendy be the one to beat Liverpool this season?
Well, presumably someone will do it at some point. Yeah. And this would be brilliant, wouldn't it? If Leicester win, can they start thinking about a title bid? Oh. I know I keep saying this. But they keep giving me the fuel.
No. He'll learn from Ranieri's playbook that even if they're top in March, no. Yeah. We're just happy
points.
With Champions League.
Yeah, he kept saying 40 points, didn't he?
You got 40 points 3 months ago. Yeah.
Brendan will be 101 points. That's all we're interested in.
Well, might I suggest, you know, because obviously Liverpool, they beat Salzburg 4-3.
What a game.
Well, yeah.
I mean, good,
well, they showed their mettle, Liverpool. I mean, I know Peg back, but they got the winner and then they...
Seems weird to be saying it that way around, but it's a bit, good point.
But they did throw away a 3-goal lead. That can't be completely ignored. And in their last 4 matches, 3 of them, I think apart from the win away to MK Dons, they've looked a little bit more vulnerable, perhaps, although they've won the games, for crying out loud. But away to Chelsea would have been disappointed not to have earned a point against them. Same as Sheffield United. And of course, Salzburg scored the 3 goals. Mm. I don't think it's outrageous to suggest that Leicester could get something.
No, I agree with you.
What do you think about Rodgers as a manager, Marcus? A lot's been made of him. Now he's starting to put together a good run with Leicester. Mm-hmm. I don't think, since he's taken over at Leicester, I think only Liverpool and Man City have picked up more Premier League points than Leicester. But he gets a bit of a bad rap for being a bit David Brent. But what do you make of him as a coach?
I think he's okay.
No, you like him, don't you?
I do like him. Well, there was an interview with him and Jamie Carragher in The Telegraph, I think, this week. Mm. And, you know, Rodgers... You cannot deny, I know what you mean, Brent stuff. He talks a big game.
Yeah.
And they talked about that season, the 2013-14. I know it's a few years ago now. And I know they had Suarez, but you still got to get a tune out of these players. You know,
he's done pretty well since then.
They were a whisker
away.
Look at what he did at Celtic. Now, people will say, oh, we'll obviously win trophies. Well, yes, but you've still got to win them. But the way they won them,
there's a difference between
they dominate it. I mean, what did he win? Sort of 7 trophies out of 7?
Marcus, I think there's a difference between winning trophies in Scotland and winning every trophy you enter.
Exactly.
And there's a big difference.
Well, not every. Not in European competition, if I'm going to be
Oh, domestic.
But domestically, absolutely. I mean, phenomenal up there. And when Leicester City came along, you thought, that's a great fit.
Yeah.
Still got a bit of the meat from that Premier League winning squad. You can add players. They've got a little bit of money. They've got a great setup there. They're just about, I think, to move to a new training complex. Vardy's still there. Do you know what I mean? Madison's come up. I mean, he loves Madison, doesn't he? Rodgers has an aura about him. He brings a bit of a feel-good factor. He's a good man manager. I think that his man management can sometimes go underplayed, actually. The way he talks about James Maddison in the press. Now, some people might say, oh, hang on a minute, a player could get a big head. Well, I actually would trust Rodgers to know the player, know what he needs. Because some players, if you said maybe about Jamie Vardy in the press, Vardy would be like, he probably doesn't need talking up. In the same way Wayne Rooney with Alex Ferguson, wouldn't tell Rooney he was great, didn't need that. Rooney needed to be told, you're crap, you can do better. Yeah. Well, I'll show you then, you know, and that was the man management.
Yeah. I think the thing with Rodgers that I find really interesting, and this has been true everywhere he's been, even with Liverpool until he ended up leaving, but he did very well there, is there's a sense of momentum with him. Mm. You always feel that the club he's at are being driven forward and they're growing and they're getting better. And however good it is, we haven't seen the best of
it. You know why that is as well? Because every team that plays under him knows how... what how they're playing.
Yeah.
If you
yeah.
look at the top 10 teams in the Premier League, you've got some of them know what type of football they're playing, some of them don't. You can kind of see what type of football Lampard wants Chelsea to play. They're just not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Liverpool, Man City, clearly. But teams like Arsenal and I would say Spurs and Man United, do we really know what type of football they're trying to play at the moment?
I don't think the various sections of Arsenal's team know what they're supposed to be playing.
Rodgers is pretty clear, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, Rodgers, Leicester are basically chilled out entertainers.
Yeah, they are. I would say. They're not that chilled out.
No.
They're really intense.
Well, they're chill welled out entertainers, so, Jim, if you want to be more accurate.
I don't know if they'll pop this invincibility that Liverpool seem to feel at home, particularly in the league.
Good but time though, isn't it?
They might run. They might run three. Close.
Yeah. I could maybe see Leicester getting a point here. I mean, yeah. Madison might not be fit. We'll see there. But these are the games that Leicester have been raising themselves for this season, and they need to because it's you know take care of the teams who you think are poorer than you. Absolutely, you need to do that. But also get yourself up for the big ones. Now they could have won at Chelsea. They got a point. I know Chelsea are not the side they were, but still, they should not have lost at Old Trafford. They would have been very very disappointed there. They beat Spurs, and I think they'll fancy getting something here.
Jamie Vardy always seems to score against Liverpool.
Vardy
scores against every top.
He's got a wonderful disrespect for everybody. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't care who you are.
Yeah,
we're going to have you. So I think it's an intriguing game, and it'll be a lovely old time, hopefully for everybody, especially the neutral. All right, let's have some emails with PDD. You email show.
Pete, can I also just say quickly before we go into emails, I'm disappointed that Liverpool game's not on telly.
Yeah.
I mean,
I am as well.
Yeah, seems bizarre.
Yeah, we got to sit through bloody Arsenal Bournemouth. No offence, Jim.
Can I interest you in Man United Newcastle on this?
Oh yeah, I'll be definitely up for that.
Yeah, but
we won't be able to though because we're going to play live show at Brighton, aren't we?
Yeah. We'll be watching it. Yeah. Hello to Matt from Australia. Greetings, men. Long time listener, first time emailer. You are welcome, Matt. Thought you might be interested in a bit of shithousery from Australia in a cup match overnight.
Dunny housery?
Say again?
Dunny housery, yeah.
Dunny housery.
Dunnery.
Dunnery, yeah.
Yeah.
Skull Dunnery.
Central Coast Mariners were playing at home to Adelaide when a banner was unfurled by Central Coast rivals, the Newcastle Jets. See attached. There's a T4.
Okay.
The perpetrators were ex-Jets player Joel Griffith and also current Jets CEO Laurie McKenna. What makes this even better is that McKenna was the Central Coast's inaugural manager and was mayor of the city shortly after. Not sure how they got on the ground, but when you're the ex-mayor, you know people. thank you, Matt, for that one. Hello to Mike Gibson as well. Evening all. Not much to add on the footballers with the same names, chat aside from the fact that the squad around 2011 Norwich City could name Ruddy, Barnett, Bennett, and Bennett.
Nice. Lovely. Yeah,
anyone called Gordon in there?
Yeah. Nobody in there. No,
middle names, mainly.
Yeah. Ramble Foss Ho, not had one of those for a little while. Kyle, I'm bringing it back. If Ferguson is Fergie and Sven is Svenigans, can Pep please be Peppers?
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 Peppy.
Peppers.
Slow week in the emails, is it?
Yeah.
It really is. That's Kyle from Nuremberg. Thank you, Kyle.
I've just realised that Arsenal aren't on TV this weekend. Sorry.
Oh.
Well,
they're playing. They're showing Southampton to Chelsea instead. Just as
that's more like it.
Throw a dart at a board, isn't it? Yeah. If you want to get to the show, it's shortfootballrambledaily.com.
Let's have a little breaky, Petey.
All right, then. Hang on. There we go.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Welcome back to the Preview Show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Everybody.
Tonight we are in Northampton.
Wow.
At the Royal and Durngate doing our live show, the Football Ramble Live. Come along. There's a few tickets left on the door. You can turn up, as far as I'm aware, and rock up and come and see us. We're also at Brighton on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Turn up there, get tickets if you want, or buy them at ramblelive.com. We've got loads more shows between now and the middle of November in England, the US and Canada. RambleLive.com is the place. The reviews have come in of the earlier shows and people are loving them. They are loving it.
Can we get reviews?
I'm just talking about people on Twitter. Oh,
right, yeah.
Very much not reviews.
Five stars, the Scotsman.
The reviews have been off the chart. One bloke said, if I died watching this show, I would die with my fist clenched in the air.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rigor mortis.
Probably got some heart problems. Yeah.
All right then, let's move on with some more Premier League chat. Norwich at home to Aston Villa. It's 17th versus 18th, Luke Moore.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't come bigger than this.
You might well be saying that in May.
Yes. Mm. Well, a big match down the bottom of the table. Of course, you can bet your bottom euro dollar that Norwich have been working on the topics all week.
What kind of topics?
I don't know. The ones with the nuts in.
Yeah.
All this talk about topics has really made me want a topic. I love topics.
Can you still buy them?
Yeah.
They're weird, aren't they? You don't get them in very many places.
They're a good Sunday night treat for me.
No, I quite like a topic.
Chinese, yeah.
Mm.
Lovely.
With a Chinese?
Not on the same. To be honest, they are out of the same foil tin.
You haven't been eating Chinese recently. Didn't you have a steak on Sunday?
I had a curry on Sunday. Yeah. It was underwhelming, so I'll be going back to Chinatown for my wares.
Would they do you a battered topic, do you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Deep fried topic.
Yeah. Norwich. This is one they'll be targeting for a win. They've still got a big injury list, though, but it's sort of old cliche chat. You know, the home games have got to be where they pick up points. Yeah. Now, having lost a couple on the bounce and been pretty disappointing since that Man City result.
Yeah.
Get your win here. And then you can almost put to bed that Man City result. And like we said about Spurs and the Champions League Cup final, in much more of a sort of a micro kind of climate, you don't want that Man City result to be a curse.
You also don't want to get into a habit. It's a dangerous habit to get into. It's not just a home games thing, Marcus. It's the idea that they can raise their game in a big way against the big teams, but still get beaten and then wrap their hand in against the teams they need to beat.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you look at their list of results so far, beat on the first day. The first day is the first day. They put Newcastle to the sword on the second game day. Good for them. Since then, it's been fairly slim pickings. They were beaten closely by Chelsea. They lost to Crawley in the League Cup. They lost to West Ham quite easily. They had that result against Man City, of course. Mm-hmm. And since then, it's been two Commonwealth Garden defeats against Burnley and Crystal Palace.
Well, as you say, Commonwealth Garden is well described because it's not been, you know, they've gone down fighting or anything. It's been fairly dry.
I know, but they do rely on width quite a lot, and their players at the wide positions have been dropping like flies.
They've got a big injury list.
Ridiculous.
They do have a big injury list.
As you touched on earlier, Marcus, I think that if they are going to start the season, the home form is really, really important. And again, to sort of hark back to that Man City game, the atmosphere was incredible, and it looks a fun stadium. They have a good vocal support, and this is exactly the sort of game that they need to start winning in. They've got to be hard to beat at home and actually sort of set the agenda at home, and I think that they've done that very well in the better performances we've seen from them. And the thing that this is potentially a sort of good game for them as well, because Villa are so bad at holding a lead. They really, really don't look like they believe they can stay
they're
in front.
They're up there with Spurs in not holding lead.
Yeah.
Because they get the bit between their teeth, Villa. They've got players like Grealish, McGinn and Trezeguet's looked all right as well, and I think Wesley's got a goal.
They could do with another big performance from, is it Wesley?
Yeah,
or Wesley, yeah.
Wesley Mirage.
Oh, I'm getting mixed up. There's another striker.
There is a player called Wendell.
Sorry. It is Wesley, sorry.
Yeah.
Is he fit, though? I'm not sure.
I think he'll probably start the game.
Okay. But, you know, when he came along, and it was again that game against Everton when they won, they looked good. But, I mean, Dean Smith said last weekend that only Spurs had outplayed them so far.
since they were promoted, of course, playing in the Premier League. And they have performed well. I mean, we said, you know, how on earth they didn't get at least a point against Arsenal was ridiculous. So Villa feel very much that they are due a win.
Yes.
And they have been playing all right. They've done okay. They'll be disappointed that they're down there. And so for them, they'll be thinking, right, Norwich have lost a couple on the spin.
I feel like they were in a completely different way to the Spurs game. I feel like they were kind of undone by Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace beat them. Villa had a man sent off in that game, but Crystal Palace were way more streetwise. Had like double the amount of shots as well.
Palace are.
I think Dean Smith is talking bollocks.
Yeah, I think you're talking.
But I wouldn't tell him that.
I think that's fair.
It's odd because you've got Chris Wilder of Sheffield United saying when they beat Everton away, well, that's one of our worst performances. He seems to be disappointed. And then Dean Smith is saying, well, actually, we've been playing pretty well, but they have not been getting the results. Mm. Where is the truth, Jim?
Somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I think people
find
say,
the
isn't
truth. And the truth will set us all free.
Indeed. I know Tyrone Mings is very likely to start. Just a word on him. In the Arsenal game in particular, he made a little bit of an error that led to one of the goals. But aside from that, I was very impressed by how vocal he is on the pitch. You really see it in the flesh, just constantly giving instructions and organising his defence and the midfield in
Who's
front
that?
Of him. Tyrone Mings.
Yeah, it's not like old players do that.
Exactly,
Paul Lynch used to do that brilliantly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you've become a bit of a literal pointer. But
I was just going to say, for people listening, we have documents of Ryan orders and stuff that we work on, and we have a shared document and it gets saved to each of us individually. Mm-hmm. And for the last few minutes, Pete's been typing his notes into the shared document. So Pete, you want to use the other document? Because at the moment I'm just seeing stuff about Rondon and Almiron.
It said Rondon and Almiron were Joe Linton.
It did say
that's about right. Yeah,
well, let's move on, shall we? Are we ready? Newcastle United.
Pete's been ready for a while.
Home to Manchester United.
I get confused about the one I copy into my own thing and that one, so I did my predictions into my own one. Yes. None of you could see, and I just typed in a couple of notes into that everyone else can see.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Well, so if you could take over, guys,
something we can agree is that everyone just heard that.
Yeah. The system sort of works.
Yeah. Pete, might we see a little Brucey bonus?
Well, I very much think that Almiron is Joe Linton, so in many ways.
You know, earlier, Pete,
clears that up, I think.
Pete, earlier, we were talking about teams who kind of know the way they're going to play and they've got their own sort of distinct style and there's a plan. Would you?
Jackson probably, Pollock. Would you bring I'm very much Jackson Pollock.
Newcastle's more of a Salvador Dali kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Every year I promise myself that I'm going to make an early start on my tax return, and I think Sunday at 4:30 might be the year that the time I actually do it.
I'm going to watch
this. This is going to be bad.
So bad.
This is going to
be
a bad
a very.
I think you could have a lot of goals in this one.
It'd be so bad it's good, Jim.
Yeah,
maybe.
Man United Arsenal on Monday was bad.
Yeah,
it was awful, wasn't
but
it?
But so I don't bad. Think this will be that bad. I think this will be more hapless than bad.
Yeah. That is a bit of slapstick.
Yeah. I think if you are a Manchester United fan, you are going to be earmarking this match as one where you're going to see a lot of Man United goals, if indeed it's going to happen at any point this season.
But then I would flip that round, and it shows you how low Manchester United are now. That I think you know, you remember Benitez obviously would very much target games and think, right, this game we'll just try and not get battered. This game we can target and we can do it, and it worked well for Newcastle. Now if Bruce tries to adopt that approach, whether he will or not, I know he's trying to be different to Benitez's comments recently, but at home against this Man United side, you've got to think to yourself, you can get something out of the game. Even Newcastle
got a forward line that are disjointed at best. There's nothing. Their main hope at the moment is, you know, 60 minutes, 70 minutes come round, Andy Carroll gets on and creates a bit of a problem.
Well, mate, this is
Rondon and Almiron are Joe Linton.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Front three.
There was some talk of what's his name? Lee Charnley? Confronting Steve Bruce in the tunnel after the Leicester game.
Really?
There
wow.
was a big altercation. And the most recent headline on the local newspaper in Newcastle is the Chronicle.
Mm.
It was, is Steve Bruce vows to analyse himself after Newcastle United's heaviest Premier League defeat since 2015? Really? So, I mean, and that is not hugely out of the ordinary for a struggling Premier League team, but he's only been in the job 5 years.
Yeah. Didn't he cancel training as well? I think he cancelled training after because he was so frustrated with them.
So he thinks less training is the answer.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? And also there was that whole thing about the analysis of his warm-ups and stuff. And obviously, you know, we'll poke a bit of fun at Brucey here and there, and it is a strange appointment, but you got to feel for him in this situation. I don't think he's been treated particularly well.
Well, I do feel for him, but I mean, as I was typing in my notes, like, you had a situation where Almiron is a bit of a lightning rod for criticism at the moment because he just looks very, very ordinary. he was quite good on the break, but we're not moving the ball as quickly as we used to. We're trying to play possession football without any intensity, and it's just Bruce is trying to change things up a little bit, but he doesn't have the staff. He doesn't have the players to work with. Almiron is getting criticism because he's just not playing as well as he did last year, but he was getting some kind of an understanding with Rondon. You pull Rondon out the side, you give him a partner that is a man who's never played in the Premier League before. It takes a little bit of time. He's young, he's green, he's going to take, and he's not a natural finisher like Rondon. So you're not going to get as many goals out of them. Almiron is going to look very ordinary because they're just not moving the ball as quick as they used to. It's too stodgy.
I get the impression, and I've heard, that Steve Bruce is like a lovely fellow, and he's I'm sure he's a great guy.
Very cuddly. Yeah.
No doubt. Well, no, I've got no reason to doubt that. Mm. But I don't sympathise from professionally based on what you just said, Jim, purely because he knew what he was getting himself into. Mm-hmm. And he also sold Sheffield Wednesday up the river in order to do it. So he's got himself into that position. He knew the environment at which he would be working. And when he took the job, a lot of pundits were saying, well, it might not actually be that bad because Steve Bruce knows the parameters that he works with him. And one of the biggest bones of contention with Benitez was that he felt like the job should be different. Mm. He felt like it should be, oh yeah, but I should be able to do this. I should have this player and that player and I should be given this contract. And Bruce has gone into a situation where he knows exactly the writing is on the wall. Mm. But at the same time...
The vomit is in the fireplace.
Yeah, it is. It is. And at the same time, Steve Bruce has got to clean up that vomit and then somehow put a training session together with a team who is low on quality. And every week that goes past, Pete, I'm sure you'll agree with this, shows what a good job Rafa Benitez did.
Hugely, with limited means and played in the only way that they could. Block, as soon as they, play without the ball, and as soon as they get the ball, run into your 18-yard box and just stop everyone from taking a shot.
And you wonder where they go from here, because there was also, was there not a video this week that was leaked or was shared on social media of a load of fans confronting Lascelles, asking him to pay their travel back to Newcastle because they were so bad.
And I mean, that is a bit embarrassing.
We're only in September.
Lascelles did front up.
We should be very careful because we might have a situation ourselves when we do a live show in Newcastle, people outside asking for their money back.
I think we will have that.
Not unreasonably.
But unlike Jamal Lascelles, I will not be fronting up.
No, we're not fronting up. Yeah, absolutely. But we'll get Ashley's helicopter out of there.
But the reason this is slightly different is because this kind of stuff is happening. And what I'm trying to get at is, if they had a bad season, they got to March, they fired their manager, got a caretaker in, and we were talking about whether he can rescue them or not, that's a different conversation. We're in September. Where do they go from here?
Steve Bruce is fundamentally, he's a nice manager. Everyone loves him because he's gone through some things in life quite recently, very emotional stuff. But he's fundamentally not a decent Premier League manager. So if you're a team that is basically a championship squad with a couple of notable 40 million crazy additions from Europe, like he's not going to save you from relegation. And Newcastle United at the moment are only going one way. Mm. Their third relegation, Mike Ashley, which is just not good enough. Mm.
Well, maybe Peter Kenyon will come in and save the
make
day.
It worth.
Yeah. I mean,
did you notice on his little? He made that little little folder of why you should buy Newcastle United. He's basically crowdfunding to buy Newcastle United.
Oh, there's an idea.
Somebody pointed out that he used the last year's Premier League logo as well.
he just wants to be the head of a consortium, doesn't he?
I think you're going to say he used the same brochures that Michael Owen used that time, and it still had Owen's details.
if Newcastle are ever sold to another owner, the first you'll hear about it is when it's done. The amount of people who want exposure and attention for saying they want to buy it because it's a big club and they're in it's complete nonsense.
Why would you do it publicly?
Fool me four times, shame on everybody.
Yeah. The only reason you go into public, take it public, is because you were trying to pressure the owner into selling.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Mike Ashley said he'll sell. You give him the money.
Yeah.
No one wants to give him the money because the money is preposterous.
There we are. Well, I still think they can get something because in this game against Manchester United, Manchester United coming back from the Netherlands, having played on an artificial pitch. Now, I've got to say, as I think most people would know, we record on a Thursday, goes out the Friday. And the reason why I say that, just in case Manchester United have been absolutely tonked or there's been some spectacular result, that's why we're not saying that.
Would it matter either way? If they get a lean 1-0 win or they get absolutely tonked, have they told us anything that we know about Manchester United? Anything more?
Give him the contract. It's like that PSG result. See? Blessing or a curse? Yeah. Talk about these results. Was that blessing or a curse? Because when he won that game, was it Rio Ferdinand? Get the contract signed now.
Man United are back, he said. But it was the Man United from last season.
Given Man United's away record, notwithstanding how they get on against Alkmaar, it's a damning indictment of Newcastle if they don't at least try and win this game.
Well, who knows what? Remember, Bruce used to roll over and get his belly tickled by Sir Alex.
I don't know what his
situation is with.
So all they need to do is get. Sir Alex.
I think the Brucey bonus doesn't count because he's Newcastle manager. No. He's always wanted that job, and it's where he's from.
If he glances up into the stand and sees Sir Alex in the stand, then, that could be their secret weapon.
True. Yeah. No.
What's that? What's that film where a man? There's a switch in the guy's head, and he just kind of reverts to like
RoboCop.
No, if he sees like a code word, or hears a code word, or sees a person, the switch goes off in his head, and he reverts to it's something man, not Bicentennial Man. It was a film basically where he's a robot, he's like a sleeping agent, and
he's got Robin Williams in it.
That's Bicentennial Man.
Isn't that about him being a robot that effectively falls in love with a woman, so tries to get like a dick installed in him?
Okay,
it's a really odd movie.
It's a different film.
Why did they call him Winky Robot Man? I don't know well there.
It's a fair point.
Betway's Four to Score. It's that time again. Four to Score entry is free. We'll be participating in it every week for a chance to win a huge prize for charity with our sponsors, Betway. Just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. If you're correct, you can win up to £125,000 this week. It's rolled over again, as I mentioned, on Monday. Head to betway.com/4 to score. That's /4 and then to score. Make sure, of course, your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Jim, game one, West Ham v Crystal Palace.
Yep, I've gone for Felipe Anderson because West Ham are at home. I don't know if he's scored yet this season. That might be wrong, but I feel like he's due a goal, and this seems like exactly the sort of game that Felipe Anderson will step up in, and maybe even get a brace. But I think he's a good shout for the first goal.
He hasn't scored so far this season, Jim. So yep. You were right.
Yes.
Good. Okay, Peter. Arsenal versus Bournemouth. Your selection here on the shared document is Callum Wilson. Luke is Wank.
That's his full name.
Yeah.
Callum Wilson. He's scored some goals this season. I think if anyone's going to score, it's going to be him.
I've gone for Danny Ings and Southampton v Chelsea. My rationale is that Chelsea can see quite a few goals. Mm-hmm. Danny Ings has been amongst it, admittedly, from very charitable contributions from Hugo Lloris, yeah. But he has scored.
Yeah.
So I've got Danny Ings.
Let's not forget.
Yeah, I'm trying to forget that. Yeah.
Him scoring against it. I mean, stranger Ings have happened.
Yeah. Marcus, you've got the big week game of the weekend, yes. Newcastle v Man United.
I've gone for Salomon Rondon. I've gone for Marcus Rashford. I think they'll take the lead, and that will spark a response of great magnitude in among those Newcastle players, and they'll come roaring back. But it's the first goal scorer, so I think Rashford will score first
because it's nice to Marcus.
I would like to point out as well that on the document it said Marcus Rashford, Almiron is Joe Linton, and Marcus rather pettily ignored that.
I did, yes.
Professionally, I think the word is.
So, our four to score selections, Felipe Anderson, Callum Wilson, Danny Ings and Marcus Rashford. It's free to play. Head over to betway.com/4 to score to get involved. You can win up to $125,000 this week, and you'll hear how we got on by watching the games. But of course, you can also hear how we get on by listening on Monday. Bet the responsible way. That's it.
Of course. Now it's time for Going for Gold. So, here's on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. Cause people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for Got for Glad, there's a mystery footballer and I've got some clues.
Can I just say, I just have to remind myself that I've got to play in it. Because the last couple of ones, it was the audience playing it.
Oh yeah, because we've been doing them a little bit of that on the live show, and I'd like to actually punch the person who guessed Nile Ranger at Alexandra Palace
in one clue.
One clue.
Two people got it, didn't they?
Did they?
I think it was two. Yeah.
Oh, okay, fair dues. Well,
I actually held up a sign just saying
behind him. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like Knights born something 1987. Yeah. 1987. Wood Green. Apparently, there's not that many footballs from Wood Green.
Nile Ranger.
Is it Nile Ranger?
Yes, I love that one.
Thank you to Ryan D, who's come up with these clues. Thank you, Ryan D. I was born on the 15th of March, 1989.
Young blood. Probably still playing.
Is it the artist Young Blood?
Sydney Young Blood.
How about that, eh?
Stop. Eden Hazard.
That face did not fill me with that confidence.
Hazard. Stop.
Not Eden Hazard.
Mario Balotelli.
No, not
Stop.
Mario Balotelli.
Danny Osvaldo.
No, not Dario Osvaldo. I won silver at the 2012 London Olympics.
Ooh.
Stop. David Luiz.
No. prior to the Olympics, I had won 17 caps for the Brazilian national team, all before the age of 23.
Stop. Rubinho.
No.
He's not 30. Bloody hell.
Yeah, 31. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. True, yeah.
Stop. Ilano. He'll be older than that
no.
one.
No. He'll be older than that, yeah.
As a youngster, I was linked with Barcelona as well as the two Milans after catching the eye at Internacional.
Stop. Luis Fabiano.
No.
He'll be older than that as well.
Before yeah. moving to England for 10 million.
Go on, Morsi, have that.
Oh, moving to England for 10 million?
Bargain. Huh. Bargain. In my club career, I've played for clubs in Italy, Turkey, and West Bromwich.
West Brom.
Ooh.
Stop. No, carry on. Oh, I said stuff. I might as well have a guess. It was Alex, but it's not going to be Alex.
No. While in England, I became interested in darts and filmed a video with Bobby George.
Oh, stop. It's Sandro.
No!
Ah!
Wins. God, I tell you, it feels so good to get one.
Well played, sir.
In 2014, the Football Ramble Twitter account posted about me saying whoever Tim Sherwood punched, it definitely wasn't, well, Sandro. Sherwood's thick, but he's not got a death wish. Yeah. I've been managed by Neil Warnock, Tony Pulis and Ian Holloway.
I think Sandro is a martial arts expert, is he not?
Pow!
I believe he is, film. Yeah. The Bobby George video is one to behold.
Oh, martial Sandro.
He goes to Bobby George's dart-themed mansion. It's mad. He's got a big stained glass dartboard above the door. Incredible stuff. It's normally Dutch players who love darts, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, Sandro loves it
Gutschels.
As well.
Dietmar Hamann loves cricket.
Does he?
Absolutely loves cricket. Yeah.
Rare for a German?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
I presume Germany have a cricket team.
Oh, they're not
they're not very good. No.
Well, yeah,
beneath them, maybe.
Yeah, it probably is beneath them, yeah. Yeah,
well, sod them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Tomorrow, Jonathan Wilson and myself will be on Greatest Games. What a podcast that is. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Don't forget to come and see us, ramblelive.com. We'd love to see you there.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
See ya.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.